Good morning. Please stand, take your songbooks, and turn to page number 312. Page 312. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. Day of His appearing will come at. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Thank you. Please remain standing. Brother Charles Giannini, will you open us up in prayer, please? Amen. Turn to page number 175. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome each and every one here this morning. Compared to how things were before Sunday school, we filled out pretty good. But we are glad you're here, that the governor and county executive hasn't shut you down completely. So we just thank and praise God for that. We do have some announcements. This Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock regular time, we will be having our candlelight Thanksgiving service. So please come out and attend that with us. Also, tonight's evening service will start at 6 o'clock. We're going to be announcing this for a while until everyone gets used to it. But at 6 o'clock this evening. Then coming up next Sunday will be Youth Sunday with Brother Zach Morris in the morning service and Brother Jesse Hanks in the evening service. And also your phone and address update back there. If you haven't checked it, you better do so, because it's being picked up Wednesday night and will be gone over and retyped and put together. And I hate throwing things away after we've got 50 or 60 copies made up and somebody said, well, mine's not right. So please look at that and change that as needed. If you're not on the list and you would like to be, there's little sheets back there that you can fill out with the information, and you will be included. Okay, any other announcements that I don't know? Okay. I don't see any. There is bread at the pantry? Okay, Miss Denise is going to be at the pantry handing out bread. I guess she was just loud for Miss Joan. There is bread at the pantry if you need some. Any other announcements? Okay. I don't see Miss Nancy. They're not here. And they said they didn't have a big class, but I want to do it anyway. Will the little kids come up and sing? Come on, little kids. Okay, that's not enough. Little kids in Miss Mary's class, come on up. Up to Miss Mary's class. Come on up. If you're in Miss Mary's class, come on, Levi.
I'm good.
Okay, little kids up through my class. Come on up. Come on, Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey, if I'm going up, you're going up. Okay. All right. spread out a little bit. Spread out a little bit.
Come on.
Come on, we've got to social distance or whatever.
All right. I'm going to start off with Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
And I can remember most all of those being the little ones up in the front row. So glad you're still with us. Okay, who came to sing special for us this morning? Jackie? Wave big if you came to sing special. Okay, Miss Jackie, come on. You're the only one I see.
Blessings. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing, cease them from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining. Ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning. Thy Lord rest at our side, the glory be thine. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessings. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing, saves them from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. We all do extol thee, the leader in battle, and pray that thou still art here. escape tribulation. Thy name be e'er praised, O Lord, set us free.
But the twinkling of an eye, and in the midst of all his glory, we'll hear the sweetest cry,
welcome home. I knew you'd come. Welcome home, you're here for good. Look around, was it worth the wait? Welcome home, step through the gate.
And I believe, at least for me, I'll see my mom and dad with my brothers and my sisters. And everywhere you look, a friend, oh, the greeting will be fresh from those we love so dear. And no mortal eye has ever seen or hear what we'll hear.
Welcome home, I knew you'd come.
Welcome home. You're here for good. And look around,
was it worth the wait?
Welcome home, step through the gate. And look around,
was it worth the wait? Welcome home, step through the gate. Amen.
In God's Word, we read about a place called heaven. It's a place prepared for those who have accepted God's invitation to join Him there. And we trust that you've accepted this morning, and you know in your heart that if you die, you're going to heaven. Extend the nurseries, dismiss them to go down in the back if anybody's going. We got a lot of folks sick this morning, a lot of folks traveling this morning. Debbie Stanley told me this morning she's still sick. She was sick Wednesday night. They're still sick. I know Rick and Joanne and Joyce and Daniel and Amanda, all of them are traveling, so remember them in prayer as they are traveling. There are some others that are away that I know aren't here, but keep the folks that are traveling today and are away from us in your prayers. Keep folks that will be traveling this week because of the holiday in your prayers, amen. But we're thankful to be here this morning. Thankful to hear, as we studied in Sunday school this morning, we're in a portion of Scripture where John the Revelator got to step into the glory world, and he got to see heaven. He got to see the throne. He got to see the one that sits on the throne. He got to see the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Amen. He got to see the glory of the glory world. And you know what they were doing in heaven? They were worshiping God. Amen. You know what we're here for this morning? We're here to worship God. Amen. And we want to worship in spirit and in truth. And what that means is we're going to worship with all our being. Amen. With everything that's in us. And it's easy to worship and have a head knowledge, but we need to get a heart knowledge. And when we have a heart knowledge, amen, we have a spiritual knowledge that will help us to worship like we've never worshiped before. If you think worshiping here is awkward and you're a little bit afraid to acknowledge when something is happening, you're not going to fit in real good in the glory world. Y'all can say amen right there, because that's not a quiet place. Man, just in chapter 5 alone, we see three times where worship has broke out in the glory world. Amen. Just in that one little instance, in one place, it just kept getting better. As one of the fellows, they kept gooder and gooder, amen. It just kept getting better and better, and the worship just kept on and on, amen. Man, we need to let some of that break loose down on this side, amen. Open your Bibles with us this morning into Matthew chapter 19. Thank our visitors for being with us here this morning. Thanks for all that are joining us in the parking lot this morning. Got quite a few out in the parking lot this morning. It's good to see you all with us, and it was good to have a chance to visit with you for a few moments. And we just trust this morning that everyone has come with your hearts and minds open, ready to receive God's Word and ready to apply it to your own life. Amen. If you've found Matthew chapter 19, if you're able to, we'd invite you to stand to your feet so we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. I still hear a few pages rustling. Let me wait just a second. I like it when I hear the pages rustling. Amen. It means you want to know. Some folks just come and go through the motions. Amen. But when the pages are rustling, people want to be there. They want to be in the moment. They want to be involved. Amen. Verse number 16. Matthew 19, verse number 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you this morning to be in the midst of our service. We ask you this morning, Lord, as we look to your word today, God, to help us to see the thing that we need to see, and to take action, Lord, according to your guidance and your direction as you speak to our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to surrender all, that we might know all and we might gain all, Father, according to your will. Now, Lord, have your way in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. Amen. You may be seated. We see this young man over in Luke. It says he was a ruler. Luke 18:18 says he was a ruler. And he comes to Jesus, and he's wanting to know how to have eternal life. He wants to know how to get to heaven. He wants to know how to get beyond what we have here. Now, in his day and in his culture, it hasn't changed a whole lot. It's thought that the more you have and the better off you are, the more blessed you must be of the Lord and the closer you must be to God. And the Jews had that frame of mind and had that thought, and they thought it was the people that had everything and the people that had great possessions that were the closest to God. And that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they would strive to put on great airs and make everybody think that they were more than what they were, that they were somebody that they really wasn't. Does anybody ever watch any of the British comedies or anything on public TV? Am I the only weird one here? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, I all right. I knew he was weird, but but hey, anybody ever watch Keeping Up Appearances? All right, now folks are starting to fess up. Amen, amen. And if you've never seen it, there's a woman, Hyacinth, and her poor husband, Charles. Is Charles, isn't it? I think it's Charles. Isn't it Charles? What is it? But their last name is Bucket. But she wants everybody to think that they're royalty, that they have something, and that they have this great wealth, and that they're connected, and all these things like in royal or in English society, people want to have these titles and want to have people look up to them because of all these things. And she goes to great lengths to put these airs on. And it drives everybody around her crazy, especially her poor husband. She answers the phone, the bouquet residence. And when people come, she makes sure that they don't touch her royal Dalton, which is her ceramic ware, her dishes. And they got to be careful. And if they're going anywhere, and they can't just go anywhere. Whenever she goes anywhere, it has to be like they're going someplace royal and someplace special and someplace that the average person doesn't get to go to. One time their son was away at college, and he invited them, had a friend that had a boat, and invited them to come spend a weekend on the boat. Had a little cabin cruiser, and you know, and she was telling everybody they're going to the yacht, and they're going out to the yacht, and they're going to the yacht, and they're going to have a lunch. And she invited everybody to come have this big lunch on this yacht. And they get to the boat, and it's just a little old boat. Yeah. It's just a little tiny boat, and they wind up sinking the boat, and make a long story short, trying to move it somewhere to where make it look better, and putting on appearances. That's what a lot of people are doing. They're putting on appearances. They've got a lot of things that are in their mind. They got a lot of things that are so important to them, and they want everybody to think is so important to them that they have lost sight of reality. And that's what happens to us many times. When we get blessed, we lose sight of reality. We get touched by the Lord, we lose sight of reality. And that's what happened to this young man. He was so blessed that he lost sight of who he really was. And he wanted to know what he could do. He wanted to know what it would take. And Jesus tells him to keep the commandments. And he said, yeah, these I've done. And Jesus gives him five of the commandments that he's to keep, and he says, I've done all these. Well, Jesus was setting him up. See, sometimes the Lord will set you up to make you see yourself for where you really are. Amen? Moses was just walking along in the desert, minding his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of nowhere. Amen? He done fled from Egypt, done went to hide out and just to live out his life in obscurity. He was afraid of Pharaoh because he done killed an Egyptian, and he run away to hide from that. And he's back here, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere, I'm minding my own business. And the Lord just let him do that for a while. But one day he come a walking along, and he sees a bush a burning, and the bush isn't being consumed. So he said, I'm going to go see what this is all about. And as soon as he gets near the bush, the Lord begins to speak to him from the burning bush and said, Moses, take the shoes from off of your feet, for the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. God set him up. God drew him in. And then God sent him back to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Will God set you up to draw you in? Yes, he will. Will God set you up to let you see what you're writing? Now, Moses made all kinds of excuses. But God said, none of them are good enough, Moses. Moses said, I can't speak. God said, I made your tongue. Well, he won't listen. God said, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. Moses gave every excuse in the world and had nothing to lean on. And God had granted. Now, God will do that to you. God will do that to you this morning. God will do that to you tomorrow. God's probably done that to you. And maybe sometimes you didn't even realize that God done set you up to get your attention. But he will. Amen. He'll put things in your life and allow circumstances to happen so that he can draw you in. And that's what he did to this ruler. Now, it says he's a ruler, and it's not thought that he was a ruler in the sense that he was a king, but he was probably a leader in the synagogue. He probably was the ruler of the local synagogue, or maybe one of the rulers of the local synagogue or something. We don't know just what it was, but we know he had some kind of authority. He had some kind of power. And Jesus brings him in, and he tells him, well, you got to do these. He says, well, all these things have been done. They were all the things that deal with our interaction to our neighbor. You know, the law is broken down into two sections, right? How many is aware of that? The law, the Ten Commandments, were broken down. It's two sections. One is our relationship to God. One's our relationship to man. So God deals with, he hands him all the things that deal with his relationship to man. And he says, yeah, I've done all these things. I can imagine Jesus just got you. Got you now. He says, well, one thing you lack. He said, go sell everything you have. Give to the poor and follow me. All right? You've got your relationship to man under control. You've got your relationship to man mapped out, and you're doing good with that. But now, come and follow me. Let's see how your relationship to God is going to stand up. And you know the rest of the story. We just read it to you. He went away grieving. He went away sad. He comes seeking eternal life. And he went away satisfied with this life. Why? Same thing, same reasons we do today. People come into church, they leave the church the same way they came. They come to church because they know there's something here. There's something about going to church. There's something to be had. But they'll leave the same way they come, without accepting or out receiving what it is that God has here for them. Why is that? Because there's things in the way. There's that credit card commercial on TV. And they're saying is, what's in your wallet? How many have heard that? How many have a TV? All right. Now, how many have heard that commercial? What's in your wallet? They've used all kinds of scenarios. You know, and if you don't have their card in your wallet, then obviously you're not going to make out as good as what you could. I want to preach to you this morning in a different frame, but on that same line, you know, what's in your way? What is it that's keeping you from obtaining what the Lord wants you to have? It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want one soul to split hell wide open. Anyone who goes to hell cannot blame God for sending them there. The only person they can blame is themselves. Amen? Now, y'all can help the preaching along a lot this morning if you'll say amen. Let me know that you're agreeing with what we're saying, amen, and you're understanding what we're preaching. Let's look at the first problem that he had as he was trying to deal with Jesus. Now, obviously, he's heard about Jesus, and obviously, he may have even seen some of the miracles that Jesus has done, and been aware of some of the things that have transpired in his community, because Jesus was there. You know, Jesus doesn't come by, and Jesus doesn't show up someplace, and people not be aware that he's there. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. When Jesus shows up, when Jesus is there, people will know he's there. When Jesus was in the house over there at the Mark 4 or 5, somewhere right around there, I believe it is. Jesus was in the house, and he was there trying to rest up, and he was there trying to recoup and trying to regenerate his physical body. But the Bible says when Jesus was there, it was noise that Jesus was in the house. Let me tell you something. When Jesus is someplace, amen, people are going to know about it. Amen. You can't hide Jesus. Amen. You can't keep Jesus from being what he needs to be. And you know, y'all know the story there. Jesus was in the house, and the fellows brought the paralytic on his bed, on his litter, and they carried him. They couldn't get in for the press of the crowd that was there. It was so big, and they went up on the roof, and they started tearing the roof up so they could let him in. Amen. Y'all remember that story? Young people, how many times have you told me to tell you, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Amen. How many of you have friends that would carry you to Jesus? Young people, that needs to be a determining factor when you're choosing your friends, choosing who you're going to hang out with. Mom and dad, that ought to be a determining factor. When you're choosing who you're going to be around and who you're going to live your life around, that your kids might see. Amen? You want your kids to know that they need to choose out them people that would carry them to Jesus. Amen? That's not part of the message. We just throw that in there for free. Amen? We're always trying to encourage our young people. You know, you'll rise or you'll fall to the level of the people that you choose to hang around. Amen? And I think there's a good biblical picture right there. I read that somewhere in the last few weeks. Somebody had posted something about that. I said, man, that is so profound. That's the same thing we've been telling our young people. Amen? You want to have a positive life? You live with people that live life in a positive manner. You want to have a godly life? You live with people that live a life in a godly manner. Amen? Amen. That's the truth now, y'all. You know, say it. It makes a difference. This young man, he was dependent on everything, and he was dependent on himself. Amen? And look at the story. Look at the first couple of verses here. And see what he done. First, we see that in verse Luke 18:18, it tells us he was a ruler. So he probably had a little bit of an attitude when he come. Amen? Sometimes we get so heady and high-minded that we lose sight of who we really are. Amen. We get so heady and high-minded when we come into church where we lose sight of who we are before Jesus. That's why we can't worship the right way. Amen. We come in with the wrong attitude. Well, I don't need anything, but I'm going to come in here and see what all these sinners are going to need here this morning. Amen. I got news for you. We all stand in need. Amen. We all need something. None of us are beyond reproach, and none of us are without sin. Jesus told that religious crowd that brought that woman taken in adultery unto him, and they wanted to stone her. And he said, all right, that's fine, but let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And from the eldest to the youngest, they all left. Right. Amen. We all come this morning with a need. We all come this morning with problems, and we need to realize that. First, how we see he had a position problem. He's letting his religion get in the way. And I believe his religion is getting in the way, and he's a ruler of a synagogue, perhaps, and he's allowing the position in his church and his synagogue get in his way. Some of y'all are here this morning, and you're letting the fact that you come to church, or you go to church, or you affiliate with the church, or you believe in God, get in your way of having what God really wants you to have. The devils believe and tremble. Amen. So don't brag about, I believe in God. I'm glad that you do, because there's many that don't today. But praise God, I want you to know something. It's more than believing in Him. It's having a relationship with Him. Amen. Many are in our churches today. Many are in this church right now. Many are sitting in the parking lot, probably here, and you've not had a proper introduction. You've never been introduced, and you never come to know Him. He comes to Jesus, and He says, Master. He acknowledges Jesus, and Master is a sign of a teacher. He's acknowledging Him as a teacher or as a leader, but He doesn't acknowledge Him as Lord. He doesn't acknowledge Him as God. That's one of the biggest problems in the church around the world, and in the church in America today, they're teaching everybody about Jesus, but they're not teaching that He is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. I was reading a man that said that he was raised his whole life in church and had heard about Jesus his whole life and was taught about Jesus his whole life, but he was never taught that Jesus Christ was God. Y'all don't believe that? Jesus is God. There's God the Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit. These three are one, and these three agree in one another. The Bible says over in 1 John, there are three that agree in heaven. They've agreed on earth. They agree in heaven. And praise God, they will agree for all of eternity, because God the Father, God Son, and God the Holy Spirit is a dwelling, and He's alive. He's real. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's eternal. Amen. Three personalities, one being. Many come in and out of churches today, and they're coming, they're worshiping idols, they're worshiping saints, they're worshiping this, that, and everything else, but they've never come to worship God. Amen? Hey, Master. Master. That's where a lot of us are. God. We don't see Him for who He really is. Good Master, what good thing shall I do? Then that next thing, His religion that gets in the way is, He's got a works religion. He's got a works salvation. He said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Amen. The Bible tells us that salvation doesn't come by religion. It doesn't come by good deeds. Say amen right there. Now y'all can agree with me and help me get this preached. Amen. I don't have to keep stopping and making sure that you're in agreement with this. Amen. You can be religious and split hell wide open. You can be a Baptist and split hell wide open. Amen. You can be any other denomination and split hell wide open. The only way that you cannot split hell wide open is to be a child of God. Amen. You can believe in God all day long and split hell wide open. Amen. You say amen right there. Amen. This young man was relying on works. What good work shall I do? What good work can I do? Some people say, well, I was baptized. Nowhere in the Bible does it show you that baptism brings regeneration, that baptism brings salvation. That's why the Baptists split off from organized religion, because the organized religion started teaching regeneration by baptism, by sprinkling infants. And by the way, sprinkling is not a baptism. The word baptism comes directly from the Greek word baptismo. It's a transliteration. It's not a change. It's not a definition. It's just the closest thing they come. But the word literally means to submerge. So how is sprinkling someone baptizing them? You say amen right there. I'm preaching you truth this morning. I'm preaching you truth from God's word. And if you disagree with what I preach, you bring me God's word and show me contrary. Amen. He was relying on works. It's easy to go and say, well, I do this and I did that. I went to church and I went to the altar. You can come to the altar all day long and go straight to hell. Amen. Amen. You can come to church every service and go straight to hell. You can feed the poor. You can do all these things, and you can give your money for this, and you can give your money for that, and you can split hell wide open. Because you're depending on your works, you're depending on your religion. If I do this, I'll get this. And if I do it this way, I'll get that. And you can depend on all these things, just like this young man was doing. And he was going to split hell wide open. He was looking for a religious way, a religious work that he could do. He's looking for a religious answer. When Jesus told him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt have eternal life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Man, just show me a work that I can do. Just show me a work that I can go through. Show me a ritual that I can perform, and I'll do it. That's what so many are looking for. So many go to church and they have rituals. Hey, man. Now, we have a format that we follow, but we don't have a ritual that we go through. Amen? Because serving God isn't about rituals. It's about righteousness. It's about redemption. It's about regeneration. It's about what happened on an old rugged cross, because we had fallen from God's mercy and grace. When we were born into sin, we took on the sin nature of our forefathers, Adam and Eve. It's about the story of restoration. God's story, the Bible's story of Him restoring fallen man to a right relationship with Him. But it's not about ritual. It's about receiving Christ as your Savior. He said, I can do the works. Tell me what works I can do. There's not a work that you can do. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Or not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's not something that you can work for. It's not something that you can work through. It's not something that you can do. He's relying on his religion, what I've done and what I can do. And Jesus says, well, let's see if you can do it. Let's see if you can go the gamut. You want to rely on works? Let's see if you can deal with it. Jesus tells him in verses 21 and 22. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, he was willing to do whatever it took, as long as he didn't have to go too far. See, that's where religion takes you. You can have it, but you don't have to go too far. I can go through the motions, but I don't have to go too far. But when you start clicking on where the heart is, and you start clicking on where their frame of mind is, you begin to find that it's not about the works anyway. And back in Israel, the people would get away from God. They would get away from His word, His way. God had a plan for their worship. He had a means for their bringing atonement for their sins from year to year. It wasn't perfect, and it was never intended to be. It was a picture of our inability to religion to come to God, to serve God, to please God. And it says over in 2 Kings 17, it said, notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks, like to the necks of their fathers. Did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected His statutes, covenant that He made with their fathers, his testimonies, which he testified against him. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen which were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. See, they couldn't even follow God's plan of atonement for their lives. They rejected his statutes. So their religion wasn't going to get them there, and his religion wasn't going to get him there. He was relying on his riches. What can I do? What good work can I do? What good thing can I do? Well, Jesus told him the best thing that you can do is follow me. What did Jesus tell him? Get everything else out of your life and put me first and foremost. Get everything out of your life and make me the most important thing in your life. Jesus said, go sell all that you have and follow me. The Bible says that young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The things that he had in this world meant more to him than the one who had permitted him to have them. His treasure, his value, his worth, everything about him was wrapped up in his possessions and the things that he had. When people looked at him and they acknowledged him, it was because of his title. It was because of his possessions. He possessed the title. He was a ruler. He possessed wealth. He had riches. I believe he possessed influence. Normally people that have something have greater influence over people's lives. And he didn't want to give all that up. But you see, the only way that we can come to Jesus, the only way that we can obtain eternal life, is if we're willing to surrender ourselves wholly unto him. Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the riches. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. My lands, read in the Bible. Abraham, the friend of God, amen, was a wealthy man, had great possessions. Isaac, Jacob, had great possessions. David started out as a sheep herder and died with great possessions. Solomon, probably the wealthiest individual that ever lived, had great possessions. Joseph of Arimathea, who come to Pilate and beg the body of Jesus, the Bible says was a rich man. He had great possessions, but his possessions weren't more important than Jesus was. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make to this rich young man. That, you know, until you get past your riches, until you get past yourself, until you get past who you think you are and begin to see you for who you really are in need, you'll not be able to obtain eternal life. How do we come to Jesus? We have to realize that we're lost and we're undone. We're sinners. The Bible says, for all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We need to see ourselves as Jesus sees us. See ourselves as needy. See ourselves as without hope. See ourselves as having nothing worthy of our salvation. Jesus said, these riches aren't going to do it. Get rid of that. I'm the one. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. It's not about what you have, it's about who you have. And when you have Jesus, you have everything. When you have Jesus, you have it all. Amen. Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 6, says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, the problem with this young man is he wanted eternal life, and Jesus knew that he was not going to be able to accept the gift of eternal life until he was willing to get rid of what he thought defined him. See, what really defined him in the eyes of heaven, what really defined him in the eyes of the Lord, was sin. That's what defines us all. Do you realize that? I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking, low down sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke. That's all I am. But I've been saved by the grace of God. See, our sin is a defining factor. Either way, it's either under the blood of Jesus or it's still charged, it's still written to our account. I'm a sinner saved by grace or I'm a sinner bound for hell. It don't matter what I have. I have a nice farm. I got big barns. Hey, man. I was afraid of that Bible verse that talks about the fool that built the bigger building, so I just bought a farm that already had them all. Hey, man. They're already there. And you know what they're filled up with? They're filled up with all my junk. And you know what's happening to all my junk? It's deteriorated. It's leaking. It's, you know, the barn roof's leaking. This one's deteriorating. You go find something you had, and you say, man, I knew I had that there somewhere, and it's all got destroyed. It moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. I've had thieves come and steal my stuff. Last year, I lost two pigs. And we, for the life of man, the only thing I can think of is somebody just swung by and helped themselves. Hey, man. We never could find any evidence of anything else happening to them. You can't have things, and I can't depend on the things of this world. I can't depend on what I have and where I have to store it. But I can depend on Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, for I know in whom. He didn't say I know in what. He said, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I'm not dependent on, and I'm not resting my eternal life and my eternal security on things that I have or on something as vain as religion. And he said, but I'm resting it in the one that I know. Amen. His name is Jesus. And he's able to keep that which we surrender unto him. You see, his religion would never be enough, and your religion will never be enough. I don't care what title. You can be a Baptist, you can be a Catholic, you can be a Methodist, you can be a Presbyterian, you can be a Muslim. I don't care what your religion will send you to hell. But Jesus will give you eternal life. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundant. He didn't say he'd come to give us religion. He said he'd come to give us life. He'd come to die that we might have eternal life. His religion couldn't do it. His riches couldn't do it. If riches or stature or anything else, let me ask you, how much would it take? How much would it cost for you to buy eternal life? How much could you give for eternal life? How much could you do if it was about your good works? And how many good things and how many good deeds could you perform? He said, tell me what good work I can do. What good thing I can do. Just tell me. Jesus didn't tell him anything about works. Because it's not about works. It's about our heart. If we have our heart right, our works will be right. Amen. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. Amen. If the heart's right, the works will be right. Because the works are the fruit of who we are. So his religion couldn't do it. His riches couldn't do it. And his reality couldn't do it. In his reality, I'm a rich man with a position, and I have authority, I have a title, and I can do things that the common man can't. I can do works that nobody else can do because I have the money, I have the resources, I have the wherewithal to do it. I have the health and everything else, and no matter what it might take, I can accomplish it. Just tell me what good works I can do. Jesus said, there are none. There are none. The only thing that's going to give you eternal life. The only thing that's going to give you that eternal security, that eternal hope, is to make me the Lord of your life. I'm not just a teacher. I'm the Lord. I'm not just another prophet. I'm God in the flesh. I'm God with us. I'm Emmanuel, God with us. What's it going to take? It's going to take making me the Lord of your life. Making me the Lord of your heart. The reality of this young man was that he was sorrowful because his riches meant more to him. This life and what he had in this world meant more to him than the prospect and the hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. Stop and think about that for a minute. In the reality of your life, do the things of this world mean more to you than the things of the glory world, the things of the world to come? Folks, this life is temporary. This life is temporal. I used to tell my mom, I said, why don't you just sell this place and go spend the money, get one of your friends and go travel around the world and travel till you don't want to travel anymore and just spend all your money and have all the joy that you can have in this life and enjoy yourself. I said, you can't take it with you. Well, next time I seen her, she had a postcard. Showed a hearse with a U-Haul behind it and said, who said you can't take it with you? They say when Madame Dora died, was a palm reader in Elkton. She's one of the gypsy palm readers. When I was a kid, she died. They had to have guards at her casket, have guards around her grave because they threw jewelry, they threw money and thousands of dollars into the casket. When they buried her, they made sure they guarded everything very well. Why? Because they felt that these riches were going to benefit her. They weren't going to do her a bit of good. The pharaohs, when they died, would have all their possessions buried with them. Their wives were buried with them. Their servants were buried with them. Didn't do them a bit of good. The reality is you can put your faith and put your trust in your riches. But your riches are going to do you no good. I have one thing that I can plead. It's not my goodness. It's not my surrender. It's not my service. You know, when I was still working, before I retired from the railroad, run the equipment shop, and I had a good reputation. Then I'm like, oh, okay, I thought of death. I mean, when I left there, I had a good reputation. Some of the people I hung out with were a little shady, but just joking, Rick. But I left there with a good reputation. But that reputation isn't what secured my retirement. My retirement was already secured by a covenant that had been made. Amen? You understand where I'm going with this? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. The reality is that apart from Jesus, apart from the covenant that he's made and accepting that covenant, you have no hope of eternity. You have no hope of salvation. You have no hope of eternal life. This young man came wanting eternal life. He came dependent on his religion, dependent on his riches, and left his meeting with Jesus that day in the reality that his treasure, his riches, meant more to him in this life than what his surrender to Jesus would in the next life. Folks, we're all going to die. This world is going to end. This world don't go on forever. Well, I should take that back. we might not all die. Some of us might leave here by way of the rapture. What's that mean? That means if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not dependent on religion. As you've asked Him into your heart and you're dependent on Him for your eternal salvation, you're not dependent on your riches. One day He's coming to get His church, to get His bride. And He's taking us out of here. Other than that, we're going to die and slip into eternity. All the signs and all the prophecy and all the signs are pointing to the fact that it's imminent, that His coming, His coming to rapture His church, His coming to take His bride away, could happen any moment. Everything's fulfilled. And man, we see the world stage set. We see things in place. We're living in the midst of the final prophecies of the Bible. And the reality of it is that before this service ends, Jesus could come. The reality of it is He might not come. You might leave His place today. And you might survive the day. You might survive a week. But if Jesus tarries His coming, you're going to slip into eternity, either with Him as your Savior or without Him as your judge. That young man, in his reality, chose his riches over Jesus. In his reality, was more concerned with the things of the flesh than he was the things of the Lord. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What's your reality this morning? What choice have you made this morning? And church, we could go on past salvation, and we could look in service. Where are you this morning? You serving God or you serving mammon? You serving God or you serving things? What's most important in your life? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation. But when the young man heard that saying, he went his way sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Not that the rich can't go to heaven, but when they place so much emphasis on them, it makes it hard. And the more we have, the harder it is to let go of. Amen? You don't have to be a rich man to understand that. But Jesus said one of the greatest struggles we're going to have in this life is surrendering the things of this life to follow Him. To surrendering the things of this life to serve Him. Surrendering the things of this life to accept Him. A whole lot of things change in our lives when we accept Him. Our friends change. Our relationships change. But one thing that never changes is Jesus. Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And He will still judge sin if we reject Him. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Before we sing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I wonder this morning if you might be here. And this morning, this is the first time maybe you've ever heard a scripture preached and shared like this. And this morning you just come to the realization that you've been trusting in the wrong thing. That you've been trusting in religion. Maybe you were christened and you call it being baptized into a church or religion, and you realize this morning that there's no Bible that backs that up. That was a man-conceived idea, a man-conceived practice. And you've been relying on that, and You've been trusting in that. Maybe you belong to a church and your name's on a church. Maybe you're on the roll book of several churches and you realize this morning that that's not going to help you. And you slip your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I just come to a realization this morning, something I didn't realize. A reality that I wasn't aware of. Realities are what's true. Maybe here this morning and there's just things that you can't turn loose of. You know, some of those things that we can't turn loose of don't always have to be money. We can look at all kinds of things and put them in that place of money. It's anything that keeps us away from being where the Lord wants us to be. And maybe this morning you're dependent on your things, or you've placed more importance on your things than you have your eternal life. You slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. Christian, maybe you can say, I place more emphasis on things and programs and everything else than I should have. And I'm not letting Jesus have his rightful place in my life. Maybe this morning you realize that you're lost. You don't have that hope of eternal life because you've sought it the wrong way. Jesus said it's not about how you treat people and it's not about what you do with other people. Jesus said it's not about anything but surrendering all to me and making me the Lord of your life. So we sang this morning, if God spoke to your heart, will you come? This message was intended for somebody. I didn't understand why God just had me go here this morning. But it's intended for someone. Maybe it's you this morning.
Page number 90. 90. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again.
He must be born again.
He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again. Ye children of men, attend to the word so solemnly uttered by Jesus
the religious
Lord.
Ruler come to Jesus by night.
To you be
and Jesus told
ye must be born
him twice,
again.
Ye must be born again.
Ye must
be born again.
Again.
Not it would be good,
ye must
but ye
be
must.
Born again. I verily say unto thee, ye must be born again.
We trust this morning that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've invited him into your heart. And you know that you know that you know that you've been born again. If not, we'd like to take the Bible and show you on the authority of God's word how you can know. Not by religion, not by what we think, feel, or believe. By what thus saith the word of God. That's what's important. Come back tonight. We'll be preaching when you've reached rock bottom. Maybe somebody here feels you've reached rock bottom or you're spiraling towards rock bottom. I want you to know there's hope. Amen? There's hope. And I'm going to be preaching about that tonight. If you come back, be with us at 6 o'clock. And Brother Pam, our Brother Adam, Sister Pam, are you going to do the young people? I'm sorry. You going to? Do they know? Young people, stay in here for Sister Pam and Brother Adam. I was thinking it right, all right? Just come out wrong. Brother Jim, dismiss us in prayer.